Friday morning. She didn't go, wasn't she going to go Monday or was it Friday? She told us Friday. Friday. Okay, we're in Exodus. The 8th chapter. Beginning with verse 16. Key read. All right. What did we have last week? Anybody remember? Well, we turned some water to blood. And some frog. We got them all over in the baking and the bread dough and the beds. And then the frogs died out of the houses. And then they were gathered up into heaps. And it made a very respectable or disrespectable odor, as the case may be. All right? And I could imagine just about how that might be. We went through the experience, you know, last week with a little rat up in the attic that we had to dig out before Dave was sleeping in that room. I can imagine what, how shall I say it, whole herds of frogs decaying on the ground in heaps might have been a bad thing. And then in spite of all this, what did Pharaoh do? He got stubborn. He wouldn't listen to Moses. Well, yeah, but you see, Lord, you have to keep in mind the Lord works on the basis of what he knows the man is going to do anyway. Pre-knowledge. Okay, now, verse 16. Said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beasts, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and beasts. Period. Now, the commentary, strangely enough, they say we're not sure that they were lice because they didn't have lice in that part of the world at that time. And it might have been mosquitoes, it might have been this, it might have been another thing. I'm sorry. Just the very fact, dust of the earth and lice, that's lice and fleas, I'm sure. All right? Probably lice. I wouldn't argue with the word at all. More than that, I kind of get a kick out of verse 18. The magicians did so and they couldn't. If the dust of the earth, every grain of dust turned to a little louse or a little flea, and they're hopping and crawling and jumping all around, and they're getting all over people, and this is already done. You know, if you have 10,000 lice on you, how are you going to notice 500 more? I mean, how do they know the magicians actually did? Well, I'll tell you how we know. The Word of God said they did, okay? I would think that by now those magicians would have learned to leave well enough alone. But then they're human, aren't they? What did they have to do? They had to protect their reputation with Pharaoh. Now, they'd already had one setback. They couldn't remove the frogs. But Moses could, and that made them look bad. So now Moses and Aaron, they make lice. Little bugs that make you itch and scratch. And what do? Dummies. Well, it says they had it. They did too. So they couldn't. But they could not, right, okay. So there were lice upon the man, upon the beast. But in any case, they're attempting, you see, to add to it. And they can't do it. All right.
All the dust in the land became lice. There'd be no more dust than the dishes to make lice.
Well, that could be too, yeah. All right, that's a problem. I never thought of that. Well, I'll tell you, you know, only once, one time that in Baltimore, the 17-year locust came up. And here, you get up one morning and you hear a little chirping in the trees and you don't think too much about it. In the afternoon, you come home from work and you're walking on the thing. You know, I mean, they're falling out of the tree in your hair, and they're coming up out of the ground. You know, they apparently, if I recall correctly, they burrow up out of the ground, climb up in the trees, start eating, and they're dropping off in the ground, and they're laying their eggs, you know, for the next 17 years. And you talk about a cloud of insects. That is a lot of insects.
Noise too.
Yeah, a lot of noise. That's right. Almost enough to keep you awake at night. And this is in a city. Can you imagine what it's like out in the woods in the open country? Okay. Yeah. Well. Squish, squash, slip, slide. Wipe your feet when you come in the house. Let's get back to the subject. I'm not eating fried lice. I'm not Chinese, all right? Okay. Now, again, what did the magician say? They went to Pharaoh and said, "This is the finger of God." And what happened? Pharaoh gets stubborn again. All right, so God made him stubborn, Phil. I'll go along with that. But he got stubborn again, no matter what happened. All right, he got stubborn. And he wouldn't listen to them. Okay. What happens now? Verse 20, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and into the houses of the Egyptians, shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." All right. Now, remember, up till now, you've had water to blood, you've had frogs, you've had lice. All right? And my commentary state, and I know that Dake disagrees, he doesn't say it the same way, and he implies that this is the only one, if I recall correctly, that where God made the division, but it seems that that's not so. From here on, the plagues are primarily on the Egyptians. The only one that I can understand that later, that where the Israelites might be involved is on a case of the institution of the Passover and the death angel and the firstborn, where they are commanded to obey, and if they didn't, why, they would have been included. All right. He says, now I'm going to show you that who's doing all of this. All of these things up till now have been things that might have been worshipped by the Egyptians, and the attempt of God is to prove to Pharaoh that their very gods can be used to be a curse upon them by the power of the I Am, God Almighty. And now Moses is to lay it out to him in another more straightforward manner. God's people aren't going to be plagued. The Egyptians are. And the Egyptians hated the fly. It wasn't an item that was worshipped. They did not like the fly. It was a curse in any way you looked at it to the Egyptians. And this is something they're not going to like. All right. "And I will put division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies." Okay? Now, it turns out just exactly the way Moses was instructed of God to tell Pharaoh it would be. You've got swarms of flies coming into all the homes, and you know, I don't see here where the lice have been taken away. It's interesting, isn't it? Flies on top of lice. Now, you know, Alice and I had a little bit of this. No, the flies. We can recall when we were invited to lunch at a woman's house. This lady fed her children by picking garbage cans. And the preacher was invited to lunch. And everything in the house had a coating of flies on it. I don't mean just flies flying around, but coating of flies on it. And I don't recall we had to eat don't think it was worth remembering. Beat that story, but I guess this is not the time or the place to do it.
In the Bible, my Bible, the word flies is in italics. Did your commentary say anything about
that? No, not that I can recall. I did note, though, that in all these insects, they weren't specific about the insects. They said that there might be other insects in the insects we know by these names. But I have to take it as swarms of flies. It could have been swarms of bees. I think of terms of swarms of bees, you know. Yeah. But I guess we call a bunch of flies a swarm of flies, too, don't we? Yeah. So I will have to go along with the way that the Lord has recorded the word as to what they were. Yeah. And again, too, you know, in this case of the lice and so forth, I don't know how long the people were tormented. I think 24 hours wouldn't have been enough. I don't think the lesson would have gotten through that the Lord wanted to get through. It may have been a considerable period of time. Again, I know that Dake wants to put all this in a little bit of time, but most of the other commentaries say it took almost a year for all these things to occur, probably. Again, we don't know, and I don't think that's terribly important. But I would say that the lice were around long enough to irritate extremely, and the flies also. And I don't know exactly how they were removed, because he doesn't see fit to tell us. They could have died, and I'll tell you something else. This many insects all dying at one time also could have fouled up the earth a little bit. He could have done that. Yep. Okay, verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." That's not out in the desert. And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us?" In other words, the animals were worshipped by the, it'd be like going to India and taking one of their sacred cows, you know, killing it. You might be lynched if you did so. It might have been somebody's grandmother. Again, this business we discussed so thoroughly earlier in the day about reincarnation. You see, you wouldn't dare do that. And this is the argument that Moses gives. They'll stone us. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat from me." And he says, "Pray for me. Don't go very far. Just go out a little ways. And then when you do that, you pray for me." And I think that was a little bit silly. I don't think Moses really had any faith in their God. He might have been mighty powerful and all of that, but he wasn't the God that Pharaoh was willing to worship. He had a whole lot of other gods that were quietly and thoroughly being discredited. And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Now that's how the flies got out. We still haven't figured out how the lice got out. I just wonder if the Lord left the lice on them as a reminder.
Well, There's still some around.
Yeah, there's still some around. I don't know. All right. Chapter 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him. Well, again, now remember, after all this promising of Pharaoh, he hardens his heart. Once again, he gets stubborn, and he wouldn't let the people go. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. They shall be a very grievous murrain disease. I really didn't get very far into what that was. I don't think it's... Well, they died. Okay. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall be nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Now once again, well, yeah, he's stupid, but you know he's awful human. Yeah, we're that way. Well, what kind of a God have you got? You know, he plays favorites. He killed all our cattle. Look at all your cattle are alive. And then dollar signs. I let them go. I'm going to lose all those cattle. As long as I keep those people here, I'm going to have milk and bread and or milk and cheese and meat for my people. We can take them away. We can confiscate them. We can tax them to death. We can get all those cattle. They're still alive. We're not as bad off as they may think we are, right? And isn't this the way people and nations work today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you say non-Christians, but you know, I won't say for sure whether they're Christians or not, but I have been in hospitals where people have been flat on their back, and they told the preacher, not me, I was with them, preacher, you pray, and if the Lord will raise me up from this, why, I'll serve him, I'll go to church, and I'll do this, and I'll do the other. And almost immediately they're up off their back, and they're on their feet, and they forget the Lord, and they forget the Lord's promises, and they turn to their own way, and all I got to say, oh boy, are you in for it? Because they were. I have seen people, and I've mentioned this here recently, a week or so ago maybe, I have seen people in the church pray in prayer meeting and so forth for the Lord to bless them in their new business ventures and help them, and they're going to give to the Lord's work, and they're going to do this. And you know, it's not a good thing to say, and it's not even proper in a certain sense for the preacher to make mention of it. But I've seen them turn from the things of the Lord once they become prosperous, and I've seen the Lord come down hard on them. Don't ever make any kind of a promise to the Lord that you will not keep. You're better off not to make the pledge or the promise than to make it and to break it. Don't do it. The Lord won't let you get away with it. He won't let the Christians get away with it. I know that. You see, we stand here and we expect the Lord to be good to his word. He can't lie. What he promises, he will do. And then we make promises and we lie. We return evil for good. That's not right. This is why I'm going to conduct, and I will rebel at it if the church ever asks me to do it. I will never conduct a campaign on the basis of pledges. I think I do more harm to the people because a certain percentage are going to end up breaking their pledges. I just won't do it. I won't encourage it. I don't know how much, to what extent I would go in rebellion if the church attempted to do it against my wishes, really. Well, all right, you see, now maybe we stand on the same boat. But I think I really have to say this. I think I do.
No.
I can't do it.
No.
Yeah, but you see, the pledge isn't to them. The pledge is to the Lord. When you fill out a pledge card, oh, they always couch it in, usually the wise ones couch it in language, the Lord enabling me to do so, I will. And see, that leaves the Lord an out. No, it doesn't. It leaves people an out. I think if you mean business and you make a pledge to the Lord to do something for Him, He will provide the means. He may take you down to the last resource that you have in order to do it. Yeah, well, I can see where the church, you know, sets a budget and promises to meet it, and this is why you have to be careful when you set these up. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to trust the Lord to provide. Same thing. Shake hands on a deal, that's the same thing. Before the Lord, you're making a promise. Oh, you're an outcast now, Phil. No. And I won't either. You make the promise to the Lord, you make it in your own private prayer closet, and then you better keep it. I'm not saying don't make pledges. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The organized system, no. But there may be something the Lord lays on your heart that He wants to extract the promise from you. And if He does that, let me tell you something. He has a blessing for you. It may be a hidden blessing in the loss of a lot, you know. But if you make a promise, whatever it may be, for any purpose at all, like, I will serve you, Lord, you better be prepared to keep that promise. My ministry is built upon a promise to God, and whenever I stray from that promise, I get into trouble. I do. And I've tried to stray from it. Alice knows what it is and how it works. And as long as I stay in it, He blesses. That's all there is to it. Don't make promises, yes. If the Lord leads you to make a promise, and you prayed about it, and you're sure about it, you make the promise to Him. You don't tell anybody about it. You don't need to. Then you keep the promise you made. Simplest promise is, Lord, here I am. Take me, use me, I'll be whatever you want. Very simple, isn't it? From there on, you're not your own. You belong to Him. And you know what you gain from it? He provides everything you ever need. He will enable in anything that He wants you to do. And that's a promise that every Christian ought to make. It's the greatest thing you can do. Huh? Yeah, I think that's true. All right. We're down now where? 8, wasn't it? Yeah. All right, I think we're going to stop there. It's 2 or 3 minutes. We don't have time to get into it and go very far.